Anybody want to thank the Lord for something before we start? I don't throw that out there much, but I'll give you the opportunity this morning. God's been good to you. You want to thank Him publicly. I'll give you a moment. Amen. Yes, sir. Where the church is, and I'm not a prophet, but it is my responsibility as a pastor. God gives us insight as to where the church is, and we are not where we need to be. And that means you are not where you need to be. I'm not where I need to be, and my family can't afford that. I can't afford that. And just being blunt, you and your family can't afford that. We need to be where God wants us to be. We need to be as close as He will let us. And we're living in dangerous, dark days, demonic days. The devil has really made an all-out attack toward our young people. I'm burdened for our young people. I'm burdened for your children and my children. I feel like we are letting them down. It's good to have a church that believes right doctrinally and faithful people to come, but that is no substitute for getting them and creating and having an environment where they can be exposed to the presence and the power of God. Amen. There is no substitute for that. And I thank the Lord for a good church, but we need more than a good church. We need a godly church, a church where we can meet with God. And there's no question when we leave that it wasn't what a preacher said or what a choir sang, but that we were in the presence of God, because that's the only thing. That's the only thing that's going to touch your children, and to retrieve them and protect them from this world and what this world has to offer. And I'm not satisfied just forfeiting my children or yours to where this world's headed. But we'd be foolish to believe that we can just be average and just have church, and that's going to be enough to change them. It ain't. If you can't see where this generation is headed and the impact that it's having on our children, Lord, help us. And so that begins with us. And the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. And so I believe that we can have good preaching and good singing and good faithful crowds, all of that, even revival services with tremendous preaching, etc. But there's one thing that we need, one thing you need, one thing that I need, and that's to touch God and for God to touch us. In order for that to happen, we have to draw close to Him. You can't touch Him from a distance. He can't touch you. So I want to look at a few verses quickly this morning. Turn to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5. I'm aware of the time. Just stay with me for a moment. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5, verse 24. You've been seated a while. Let's stand. Stretch your legs. Honor God's word. Verse 24. If you're there, say amen. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. That's important. Don't skip over that last phrase. There were people all around, many people following him and thronged him. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You can have a seat. Touching Jesus. Oh, it's one thing for God to touch us. And we need the touch of God. We need the God of heaven to invade our life and to interact with us and to put his hand of favor and blessing upon our life. We cannot be effective. We cannot be successful as Christian people without the touch of God. We are foolish to believe we can in and of ourselves, no more than we could save ourselves, can we live the Christian life. It's impossible. And it takes the touch of God. But there, if you've been saved long, you know this. There will come times in the Christian life where you want the touch of God. You need God to touch you in a particular area. You need God to touch your marriage. You need God to touch your children, your home, your personal life, your prayer life, your faithfulness. You just need God to touch. But it seems like he's busy helping other people, and you need him. Well, that's what's going on here. Jesus was healing others and helping others. And this woman had heard he was in the crowd and he was passing by. And she took it upon herself and she said, if he's not going to touch me, I'm going to touch him. Amen. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but I say this, if you feel like you've been coming to church and you're trying your best to make it and you're trying to get ahead and you have a specific need and it feels like life is just falling through your fingers and you can't get ahead and you can't get the victory and you need a touch from God and you see others getting blessed and others getting help and seemingly doing good and God's attention seemingly on other people, I want to say to you and to me, God help me with this morning. If he don't touch you, you can still touch him.
Amen.
She slipped in behind him and pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And you say, well, did it work? Absolutely worked, and I believe that's what we need. We need more than church. We need more than Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. We need more than a revival meeting with good preaching. We need more. We must touch and interact with the God of heaven. It's the only thing that's going to change. You notice these people, and I don't preach on this, but I just mentioned it in passing. I said that word throng. It was used twice. People were thronging him. There was people touching him all over and rubbing shoulders with him and scrubbing him. And but there was a difference in thronging him and touching him. She intentionally, on purpose, touched him. It's not enough to rub shoulders with Jesus. It's not enough to be in the same crowd, in the same room, in the same church building while he's touching and helping and ministering to other people.
and you get in on it, because that ain't going to do you any good. That's not going to change you. Seeing other people change don't change you necessarily. And she realized that and understood, if I'm going to leave here today and have my problem resolved, if I'm going to leave here today and my life be altered and changed forever, I have to touch Him. I wonder what that would do to our church if we come this morning saying, I don't know what everybody else is going to do. I don't know how good the choir's going to sing. I don't know what the preacher's going to preach on. But I come with the sole intention of touching Him. And I'm not leaving until I do. Boy, that would revolutionize and change our church. It would change each and every one of us. Why did she need to touch Jesus? Why do we need to touch Jesus? I believe every person, saved or lost. If you're lost here today, you need to touch Him. If you're saved, we need to touch Him for the same reason. Look at her disease, verse 25. The Bible said, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. She had a disease. She had a problem. An open flow of blood. It was an issue. And I don't know what your issue is this morning. I know I have my own issues. And don't call my wife after church and say, what's the preacher's issues? Because I will forbid her to tell you, number one. And number two, don't ask my children. And don't even ask me unless you want me to turn the question on you. Say, well, what's your issue? Tell me your deep, dark secret. Ain't you glad as Christian people? Now, I know there's other religions out there, but you got to go to a pope in a closet and confess all your sins to another man. Ain't you glad that you can go into the presence of God and no listening, no man has to hear what you say, and only you and God, you can get an altar and pray to God about things that nobody else, you would ever let them hear. And tell Him and pour out your issues to Him, and He will listen. He will hear and He will help. And this woman had a disease. She had an issue. It was an outward issue that could be seen. Other people understood she had problems. And the longer we have a problem, you may can conceal a problem for a long time. You can hide it, cover it, clean it up. But sooner or later, the longer that problem persists, it's going to show itself. On the outside, what started inwardly, what was really and deeply a problem, in time, it will reveal itself on the outside. And she was like similar to those who had leprosy, unclean. I mean, the people of that day, they saw her and they understood she had an issue. They didn't want her blood touching them. They didn't want to have fellowship with her. It was affecting every part and aspect of her life. And so will sin do the same for me and you? And so what could be seen by others was simply the effect, not the cause. The root of it was her issue. The root of it was an inward problem that she had. The effects, the outward part that could be seen, they were real. But solving and curing and wiping the blood and maybe fixing gauze and making it bearable, well, that would get her through a day, but it wasn't going to solve her problem. Her problem was an inward problem. And so it is with me and you. We may have a spout off at the mouth and have a bad attitude and have these outward issues, but the real issue is it's in you. It's easy to point blame and say, well, I'm ill today because my husband made me that way. I'm not where I need to be with God today because my wife ain't where she needs to be and she's dragging our whole family down. My mama or my daddy ain't doing... Listen, it's easy to point a finger of blame. But in reality, if you want to know the truth, I begin this message by saying, have you ever been closer to God than you are today? If you ain't, if you're not where you used to be, where you should be, You can't blame anybody. It ain't God's fault. It ain't the preacher's fault. It ain't the church's fault. You can be close to him. This woman broke all odds. She got down. She done whatever it took. She said, if I have to bow myself on the ground and crawl, I'm going to get to him. If I have to press through the crowd, say, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, pardon me. I know this is inconveniencing you, but this is going to change my life. And she did what it took to get the help she needed. I want to look at just a quick point. The longer we allow our inward issues to fester, eventually our inward issues will begin to seep. Show the outside. The issue of her disease was contaminating her. The identification of her disease was controlling her. The isolation of her disease was confining her. And the impact of her disease was condemning her. So that's her disease. We all have issues. We all have. I'm not going to go into naming them all. I'll just say this. Ask yourself. So I can move on. Ask yourself, what is my issue? Do you have an issue? Let me answer that. Yes. I have. Do you have something you wish God could touch and take away? If you could say, Lord, there's one thing that's bothered me. It's been bothering me. It's handicapping me. I seem to fall time and time and time again. If you could just remove this one issue, Lord, my life would be so much better. I was going to move on, but I felt a tug. I got a nibble right there.
Go ahead, Richard. Go ahead.
Is there one sin that you ever felt like, and I'm preaching from experience here, like if I could get victory over that, I would be all right. And we allow that one thing. Because we know it's there, it'll hamper and harm and hinder our prayer life because we know, well, I can't pray like I need to pray in that sin there. I can't serve God like I need to because that issue is there. And the devil, the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he will lure you and tempt you to do that sin. And then he'll turn around and he will condemn you and tell on you and accuse you for doing it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over and make you feel worthless, useless as a child of God. And so, just to bring it all together, what one thing, if you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you ask God to remove one issue, don't scream it out loud, don't even whisper it to your husband or wife, Mom and Daddy. But what one thing, and you know, I don't have to go any further. You already know. If I could get him to remove one thing from my life, I know what it is. Can I say, this woman had went to many other people, doctors. She'd spent all, the Bible says she spent all. She had tried everything to get this issue resolved. And when man cannot solve your problems, when a preacher can't help you, when a church can't help you, when a psychologist can't help you, and schooling, and all that the world can pour into you and try to help you with, when all of it comes up with a big zero and you're empty and you feel like it's a hopeless cause, I'm glad to report to you there's one that if you will get to him, if you will press through, if you'll do what it takes to bow down and crawl to him and lay your hand on him and touch the God of heaven, he can and will remedy your issue. Whatever it is. You say, well, I've tried my whole life. It keeps on. She'd been dealing with it for a long time. But after she touched him, never again. It was gone. So her disease, then verse 26 talks about her destitution and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse.
Boy, how telling. I'm not going to preach this point, but just simply say, the things that we allow to live with us, it ain't going to get better. No more than we are evolving, like the world's mentality, everything's getting better. We're evolving, we're growing and expanding. What started out as an amoeba, as some little microscopic thing, has grown into monkeys and now to us, etc., because we're just getting so much better. That's anti-Bible, that's anti-God, that's so backwards. And neither, that's a macro scale, but on a minor scale, neither is things that we allow in our life that we'll just say, okay, I'll just live with that. It ain't going to get better. Left to itself, it ain't, just like it did with her, her issue didn't get better. Rather, it grew worse. And so it does in our life. Sin unattended to will always grow. It'll always gain speed and gain ground and take more and more and more of your life. It's not okay. It's like a cancer. It's not okay. It's just remaining in one part. It has to grow. It has to expand. It wants to dominate you. And it will. But she had spent all. She had done all to no avail. Broken physically, broken financially, tried all the options except one. Daily, she was deteriorating. You may think you're conforming and reforming and getting better. No more than she did will we. Listen to what the Bible says. I believe it was in her bulletin this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. Conforming is not going to fix it. That issue's there, and we just say, well, I will learn to live with it. I'll conform myself. I will do what it takes so that I can operate with that still there. But that issue is flowing bigger and bigger, and we cannot conform to the issues that's stopping and hindering us. We must be transformed. The Bible goes on and says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your minds. Yes. And prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It ain't an accident that the Bible says by the renewing of our minds. Listen, that issue that's there, you know is there, in my life, I know it's there. And I can live however I want to live. I can put blinders onto that. I can minimize my issue. I can make it smaller. I can make it appear as though it's not there. I can try to live like it ain't there, like it don't affect me, and so can you. But you know, it's there. It may be a person that you have failed to forgive. It may be unforgiveness. It may be bitterness. It may be fill in the blank. It may be some sin, some pet, something that you love, some things that you tell God, I'm not going to do that no more. Lord, I'm sorry. I can't believe I've done it again. If you'll forgive me and help me through this, I won't do it no more, only to find yourself doing it some more. Yeah. You know what your issue is. I'm saying it becomes mental. It affects our mind. It affects how we think. It changes everything in our life. And God said, if you're going to be transformed, you got to do it by changing your stinking thinking. You got to change how you think about it. Listen, sin, though it has pleasure, though it can bring pleasure and fun for a season, it's always gonna cost you. Always. It never relents. It never supplies and is sufficient. It always demands more and more and more, and it'll always hurt you. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It may not kill you today, but you're headed for the graveyard. And if you and I don't learn to deal with our issues, we can't live with them. And what we think we can't live without is the very thing that we're going to allow to kill us. So nothing better, but she grew worse and worse, and that
is what all of us would do without touching Jesus. Jeremiah 13:23, listen to this verse. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. You can't change your spots. You that are accustomed to doing evil in and of yourself, you ain't just going to up one day and wake up and say, well, I'm going to start doing good. Amen. Ain't going to happen. Next time it's springtime, the trees are budding, flowers are popping out. Ride by the next time you go by Gaffney or one of these, and look at them peach orchards and look at them buds beginning. No more than you're going to ride by there one day and see apples popping off that peach tree or bananas growing off of that apple tree. It ain't going to happen. It is what it is. And that's the fruit it's going to produce. And in and of yourself and in and of myself, I cannot, to date, I hadn't been able to whoop that issue. I hadn't been able to get victory over that issue. And you hadn't either. That's why you've learned to live with it. And you ain't going to change it until you get to Him.
Amen.
And He will remove
will.
The whole tree.
Amen.
And He'll put something in your life that will become fruitful, and the fruit that you wanted it to be, the fruit you dreamed it to be. But it can't. You ain't going to dig it up. You ain't going to throw the tree in the fire and burn it and plant another one. But He can. All in one swoop, all in one touch. He can and will. And that's what happened to this woman, and what needs to happen to me and you. Lastly, quickly, she made a decision in verse 27 and 28. Her disease, her destitution, her decision. When she had heard of Jesus, somebody told her. Somebody told her that He was unlike anybody else. Those priests that she had heard, those that sat in the hierarchy of religious circles, none of them had helped her. None of them could help her. But there was something different about this man. Something that would make her change the way she acted. Something that would make her be willing to get down on her knees and crawl in a crowd and press through the crowd. Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician." She may have heard Jesus in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Are you sick and tired of your issue? Because I've learned this, until you're desperate, you ain't going to deal with it. I don't care what I preach on. I don't care what you, Brother Rackley will preach on, or any of the other preachers. They can preach on your sin, on your issue, on mine. But until I'm sick and tired of it, until I've had enough of living this way,
amen,
I ain't going to deal with it. I will cover it up and I will move on. I will walk right on out the same doors I came in,
amen,
holding my issue. And you will too. But this woman had had enough. It had been 12 years of dealing with this. I don't know how long you've been dealing with your issue, but I can gladly tell you, you don't have to deal with it another day.
Amen.
You can leave it today. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be a good day at church for something you've carried and labored and had to fight every day for a long, long time? If you could truly get deliverance from that.
Amen.
This, I'm not preaching a fairy tale. I'm not preaching a fiction book. This happened. And if it happened for her, it can happen to you and for you. Maybe she heard from blind Bartimaeus as she walked up and asked him, where's your dogs that led you around? What happened to those milky eyes? Now they're clear. Where's your walking cane?
Yeah.
Oh, he told, I met a man named Jesus. Well, maybe the leper run by and testified, hey, y'all remember me? I used to be unclean. I was put outside the camp to die. The adulterous woman, Jesus forgave and cleansed her. Maybe she heard from Jairus testifying about his daughter. Maybe she heard a testimony of the boy who was blind but now could see. Maybe she saw the lame man running and jumping for joy. Maybe she was overwhelmed when the man with the withered hand come by and reached out that hand and it was no longer withered.
Yeah.
I'm saying she heard. She saw the evidence of lives changed, of other people's issues removed. And it made her willing to do whatever she could to get to him. She had seen the evidence and the testimony of others. That's what gave her the hope that Jesus could do it for her. When's the last time, I'm closing, when's the last time you touched him? Do you need to be delivered from an issue in your life? Have you lived with it so long you don't even believe it can be handled anymore? I've been there. I've thought to myself, well, even God, I know He could, but He ain't. Obviously, He ain't because I'm still living with it. I've asked Him before. Listen, this woman got desperate, determined. I'm not going to live like this another day. And she made a decision, and she pressed through the crowd. She didn't care what other people said, and she touched him. And her desperation led to her decision and ultimately led to her deliverance. He said, daughter, that's family talk. Daughter, that's a holy relationship. He said, thy faith, that's a heavenly revelation. He said, health made thee whole. That's a healthy recovery. And then he said, you're delivered of this plague, made whole. There's no burden Jesus can't lift. There's no sin He can't forgive. There's no issue He can't resolve. And He wants to. And if you want to, He will. And I plead with you. Do what it takes this moment and touch Him. Let's stand. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this good service this morning. Thank You for the testimonies of Your people, the songs that have been sung. God, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that we would all look inwardly this morning. Search our hearts, God. Look at the issues that are dominating our life, Lord. I pray You'd help each and every one of us, God, to press through, God, to reach You and touch You this morning. Change us forever. God, if there's one lost here today, I pray You'd save them. May they touch You, God, for the first time in their life and feel the power and feel the virtue to leave You, God, and come into their life and in their body. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.